Two Australian football codes have been jolted this week by reports that up to 60 of their players are about to be slapped with doping infringement notices. This comes as a result of a long-running investigation by the Australian Sports Anti-Doping Authority, ASADA, into the use of banned substances. It's thought up to 40 players at the Essendon AFL club and 17 from the NRL club Cronulla may soon receive show cause letters. Mass suspension of players could decimate the clubs involved. Well, ASADA is remaining tight-lipped, as are the codes and the clubs involved. Patrick Smith is sports columnist for the Australian newspaper, and he joins us this morning from Melbourne. Patrick, good morning. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Alan.
How much credence do you give these reports? 40 players at Essendon, 17 at Cronulla.
Well, the reports won't go away, Alan. There've been reports since close to the end of last season, both in Fairfax and in News Corp, that players would be show causes, which would lead to infraction notices, which would lead to suspensions. Now, the timing and the numbers have changed. Initially, it was thought to be about 10, and that would happen by before Christmas. I think the figures in this last report by Fairfax of up to 40 and 17 at Cronulla, I think that's caught everybody by surprise, as has been the timeline that it may happen as early as this week. I think the AFL, that was caught on the back foot, so were the clubs, and I understand that the NRL and Cronulla were surprised as well. Something is happening, that is for certain.
And this goes back to players who were at the clubs in 2011 and 2012. Do we actually know how many who might be caught up in this, might be current players, and how many might have moved on?
Well, certainly it's something like, I would say 90% of the players are still playing.
Okay.
It would decimate Essendon, obviously, if they were to lose up to 40 players. There are contingency and plans for that, the AFL tell us. So does the NRL say that they have plans if the worst result happens and they lose as many as 17 players. I think that it's inevitable now that some players will go. The number and the timing is the only question that we haven't been able to figure out. And it's the only question that we haven't been able to figure out since the story broke way back in February last year. Because if the reports were right drugs that were against the in contravention of the WADA code were being administered to the players, it was highly likely that players would go. Unfortunately, they got bad advice. They didn't willingly take them. But nonetheless, the WADA code will fall heavily on them.
Okay, so what we know is that the show cause notice means exactly that, that athletes would have an opportunity to argue why they shouldn't be charged with an offence. Now, if that's not successful, what sorts of penalties do they face, just briefly?
Okay, the show cause falls heavily on the athlete to prove ASADA wrong. Now, if they can't do that, it goes to an anti-doping rule violation panel, which examines all the evidence, and then it issues an infraction notice, if you like. That infraction notice is then goes to the code, and the code will make a judgment on penalty, which the maximum is 2-year ban.
And so that's why you're saying that this could affect whole careers for some players, and in terms of the clubs, even premierships.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as it is, Alan, Essendon got thrown out of the finals last year in the AFL because of that, because they penalised Essendon for a lack of duty of care over its players. So by all means, there is an expectation that teams may not participate in the finals, yes.
And in terms of the individual athletes, a mandatory 2-year ban, now that could be a career-ending punishment for anybody, couldn't it?
Definitely. And if you think, Alan, that this goes back to February last year, two governments have had a whack at it, and it's still unresolved, I think is so grossly unfair on playing groups that everybody concedes made no attempt themselves to get an advantage, but in place was a sports science program that took it to the edge, if not over.
Hmm. Initially in your reporting, you were right behind this ASADA investigation, but your columns suggest now that you might have changed your mind about their competence. Why?
No, I'm right behind the inquiry. I think the inquiry had to go ahead. I think that the players need, unfortunately, the WADA code must be applied to the players, and if that's 2 years, that's 2 years.
Mm.
What I'm now challenging is the competency of the ASADA investigation, the support of the governments, both governments, in handling this issue that has hung these players out to dry for 15 months. Mm.
So 15 months on from the infamous darkest day in Australian sport, press conference, and we're still having this conversation.
Well,
that's your beef, is it?
Alan, the last player was interviewed nearly 12 months ago.
Hmm.
So what's happened in those 12 months that we still do not have an answer? I think that that is so grossly unfair and points to ASADA as being underfunded, not having the resources or investigators or the money to competently handle the investigation, and to the detriment of the players and their families and friends.
And what about the issues around confidentiality? It's supposed to be at the heart of the ASADA rules and regulations. This latest leak, I guess, comes on the watch of the new CEO, John McDevitt. Does he need to do something about, this seems an hypocrisy for journalists to ask one another this, but does he need to do something about this this leaking?
Well, it came on the changeover, didn't
yes,
it,
yes.
Of administrations. Now, I think that ASADA needs to plug the leaks, obviously. There seems to have been an availability of information that goes against the strict, government regulations that guide ASADA. So I think that's would be of immediate concern to Ben McDevitt as he's in, this is just his second day in the job.
Very briefly, the AFL's come in for particular criticism about for how it's handled the whole matter. How do you rate the AFL's performance?
I think it was very shoddy at the end. I think that they tried to manage an outcome rather than sit down and judge an outcome. They tried to manage one, and that got them into a lot of murky areas. So I think that they put their hand up and say, while we managed the inquiry okay, it was the judgment that we really we did appallingly badly and lacked transparency.
And finally, an AFL legend died last night. Tommy Haffey, former Richmond player and premiership coach. Nothing stronger than a cup of tea ever passed his lips, even though he was 82. I guess it was an unexpected death for many.
Well, he just seemed an immortal, because even into his 80s he was doing 500 push-ups, 500 sit-ups, swimming in the bay in cold water. And he was a fitness fanatic. He will go down as one of the most influential men in AFL history. There's no doubt about that. He influenced a lot of people, a lot of footballers. He changed their lives, and he took Richmond to 4 premierships, and he took teams to 10 grand finals. That's the work of a mighty man.
Mm. A great figure in the game. Rest in peace. Thank you so much for taking us through those details, Patrick.
Cheers, Ellen.
Patrick Smith there, sports columnist with the Australian newspaper.